Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Rich Tolan, Enterprise Account Executive for LinkedIn. We're going to be talking about, hey, LinkedIn is such a major force in HR. What are you doing about it? What are you using it for? Rich is going to tell you some of the ways that, hey, you can get maximized and make LinkedIn part of your everyday life. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
You know, under your LinkedIn profile, it says, help enterprise sales organizations unlock the revenue-generating power of LinkedIn. You're going to make them money, Rich.
You know, it's really interesting because LinkedIn has been around for quite some time, and many of us have been on LinkedIn for more than a decade at this point. In my current role at LinkedIn and what I've mostly used LinkedIn for in my prior roles, I use it as a means to an end to grow revenue for every business I've been at. And since I've been working for LinkedIn, you know, I now have the opportunity to work with organizations to help them really build a LinkedIn strategy on the sales side to drive pipeline and revenue. So it's an interesting thing that you brought that up in terms of what I have underneath my name there, because one of the things I was going to mention today as a tip for your audience is, you know, if you look at the LinkedIn profiles of mostly everybody on the platform right now, and we're close to 600 million members globally, you'll note that most people have their title underneath their name. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, God, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and so what we're talking about with our clients and what I train on daily is you really want to make that a headline of what your value proposition is. What do you do, right? You want to make it a more human approach. So I'm glad that you noticed that. It sounds a lot better than enterprise account executive, in my opinion.
Sure. No, I understand that. And look, the reality is LinkedIn has certainly grown over the last, gosh, 5-10 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's now it's just a massive technological platform. It's owned by Microsoft, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a publicly traded organization. Tell me a little bit about how and why you joined LinkedIn. Let's start there. Tell me about what you are excited about LinkedIn in terms of why you're there. Give us kind of like a history lesson on what brought you there.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great story. At least I think it is. I was at ADP for many years and spent many quality years at that organization. So taking a step back to be a guest on the HR Power Hour, you know, I spent many years as a sales leader at ADP, working with HR professionals, hundreds of companies and individuals, many of whom I'm very good friends with to this day. But when I was at ADP, I used LinkedIn to speak to folks in a way that I thought was a more elegant way as opposed to, shall I say, cold calling. Okay, so, you know, companies that will do things like have phone blitzes and they'll send mass emails and they'll do things like that, I was trying to find a more current way to leverage LinkedIn and more modern approach to generating business. So I had my team use LinkedIn to figure out who knew who, and we wanted to really understand these HR professionals that we were going to speak to. And so we started reaching out in a manner that was, like I said, in a more human approach, and our results followed. So it was from that perspective that I really started to use LinkedIn as a sales tool. And then LinkedIn has a measurement that we could talk about a little bit. It's actually really interesting. It's called the Social Selling Index Score. Every single person on LinkedIn has this score, and it measures what you do on LinkedIn. It measures the activity that you do on the platform. So long story short, I was getting ready to accept a promotion at ADP, and lo and behold, I got an email from LinkedIn to see if I'd be interested in coming to work for them through Recruiter. And long story short, although I'll never forget, it was a snowy blizzard day when I traveled into New York City for my interview process, which was a few weeks in length total. I ended up taking a job there. Loved ADP, loved the people, loved the company. But LinkedIn is just an incredible, incredible place to work. So transferring that thought into what gets me excited about LinkedIn and why did I join, the culture is unbelievable, and I think this is something that will resonate with the audience in terms of, you know, there's a lot that's been written about and spoken about company culture and employee engagement. And when I went and visited LinkedIn, you know, the kinds of things that you see there and I saw blew my mind. And these are things that, you know, once you work there, you get deeper into the culture, and, you know, there's a great leaders and all the things you would expect. But I don't know of any other place where you have free food all day long to keep you there. We've got, you know, your Silicon Valley type of vibe and culture with the pool tables and the movie theaters and the, you know, we even have a band room. Right, so, you know, think about what people used to do back in the day on their work break. They might go outside and take a walk around the building. We go downstairs and play music. I get on the drum set and play Foo Fighters and jam with other folks. It's a whole different vibe as opposed to an ADP, which, again, great company, still very friendly with them, and I work with them to this day. But when you go from a suit and tie kind of culture to a LinkedIn, which is more jeans-type oriented organization, the culture was phenomenal. So that was a big piece for me, but just the market opportunity is massive. And what I specifically do at LinkedIn is I work in the sales solutions business unit. And the exact same thing I was doing at ADP with my sales team, I now do with other sales teams at other companies. And it's been a very, very enjoyable and enriching experience to do that. And we're not slowing down. We're doing really, really well in my unit, and the company as a whole is doing extremely well. I'm sure Microsoft is very happy. In fact, I know they are with our performance. And so it's just, you know, hearkening back to what our mission is, and that is to connect the world's professionals to make them more productive and successful. I truly believe in that, and we're doing that every day in a variety of ways. So it's a purpose-driven company. It's a successful company. I feel great about getting up and getting at it every day. I feel like we're actually doing great things for our clients, and so it's a good situation. I feel fortunate, really feel lucky to be here.
Well, you know, every organization has what they perceive as the best culture, and you've sure. certainly provided information about why, you know, if you want to call it the fun side of the culture, right? One of the things that I know about, because I've met you at a conference, and we've certainly talked about the organization and LinkedIn itself, is that you really find solutions for people. And I think knowing you the way I know you is that that really is what makes you successful, correct?
Yeah, exactly right. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. If you strip away the culture and all that piece, and clearly when you're, you know, attracting talent in the way that I was brought over there, that does matter, and you need to take a 360-degree view of everything. But at the end of the day, solving problems for customers is something that we do very well. And, you know, LinkedIn is such a unique platform, and I'm an employee at the company, but I'm more so just a huge fan of the platform, and I use it daily in ways that everybody else probably does. And so, you know, we have a variety of things that we offer at LinkedIn, and I'm sure that many of the folks listening are familiar with our Talent Solutions business unit, which is our recruiter tool, right? And that's been our bread and butter since day one, is working with HR professionals in our Talent Solutions group. But then we also work with marketers. So if you think about, you know, a place where you've got 600 million people in one spot, it makes sense to market to those folks. So we have a very robust marketing division, and that's, you know, serving up ads and sponsored content and things of that nature. There's my group, which works mostly with sales folks, sales leaders, and marketing leaders to help them leverage Sales Navigator, which is a different platform from regular LinkedIn, to help them quickly target new prospects, understand what they care about, and engage, right? And then we have other things like LinkedIn Learning, which is formerly lynda.com, which is really taking off and really, really exciting. It's a very fast-growing business unit inside of LinkedIn. And then we have Elevate, which is definitely something I would recommend. If you haven't heard of this platform, this is not where I sit, but the Elevate platform that LinkedIn provides is a really interesting tool in that it allows companies to empower employees to share content in a more efficient manner. And the data really proves out that that's important. Like, so, for example, what we call social enterprises are 58% more likely to attract top talent and 20% more likely to retain them. So the Elevate platform is basically, in layman's terms, you think of it like this. You've got a company and you've got somebody who manages your LinkedIn page and they're pushing out content. Well, imagine if you had a systematic approach to empower every single employee to also push out curated content as well, right? And the reason that's important is because what we found is content shared by employees has a 2x higher engagement versus when shared by a company. So I've been a fan of the Elevate platform, and although that's not where I, you know, what I talk about daily, I think that's an interesting point for your audience to consider. And that's a fast-growing space as well, not just for LinkedIn, but in general.
We're talking with Rich Tolan. He's an enterprise account executive for LinkedIn. So you're based out of New York City, correct?
That's correct. We have a New York City office in the iconic Empire State Building, which is fantastic.
I love the Empire State Building.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal.
Yeah, my wife likes it too. There's a diamond industry there on, I think it's the 66th floor or something, 100th floor, and she's a big fan of that place. I'm not as much of a fan of that place, but I'm sure you can understand why. Anyways, moving on.
No comment.
No comment, right? No comment to that thing. Anyways, you know, we're talking about LinkedIn. We're talking about helping from an HR perspective. HR is a big user of LinkedIn, is it not? And where are you seeing them specifically focused, and how do you help HR use the most out of those tools?
Yeah, it's a big question. We could talk for hours about that. You know, big picture, as I mentioned earlier, we have the recruiting platform, right? And so that is a service that companies pay for, and happily paid for. It's our largest revenue source at the company. And that's a robust, I would be willing to bet that many people on who are listening today actually are using that. So recruiting, right? Recruiting is the obvious thing there. But in my seat, in what I see more subtle things happening in the HR space. And what I mean by that is branding, right? Branding, as an HR professional, we see more and more HR folks branding themselves in a really strong way, which is so, so critical, because it's one thing to leverage your recruiting tool to reach out to find the right candidates, right, by using advanced search algorithms and things like that, and then reach out to them. But all candidates will look at the recruiter's profile. They will look at HR professionals' profiles. And so we've seen that piece has really taken off in terms of HR people caring about how they themselves, you know, are branded on LinkedIn. And I would say, just, you know, as a tip to anyone out there, if you haven't thought of it that way, it is so important to make sure, if you are an HR professional, to keep in mind that your target audience is probably talent that's not at your organization yet, right? I would say another subset of your audience is your company that you work for, current employees, right? But on LinkedIn, think about how do you look, what are you saying on your LinkedIn profile to potential candidates? Because they are going to look at it, they're going to make decisions fairly quickly, and I could shed some more light on some tips on that. But as far as our HR presence on LinkedIn, it's huge. And it's really interesting to see that demographic is much more active and engaged on LinkedIn. I'll give you a couple examples. The HR professional in the United States on LinkedIn shares 176% more content than the average member. They follow 65% more companies. They check in mail more. They're in groups more. They're more likely to stay up to date on industry discussions. So it's been I think, a great platform for HR folks. And another interesting side note on that, you know, what I do with LinkedIn with Sales Navigator is, you know, help sales organizations, you know, reach out to folks in all spaces. But one thing that's been interesting for me to see coming from ADP is that a lot of the HCM companies that we know and love, you know, Workday, Paychex, Paycor, Paylocity, Paycom, ADP, they are leveraging LinkedIn because guess what? They want to talk to the people who are listening to this conversation right now.
There is no question. It is the place you need to be. We're talking with Rich Tolan, Enterprise Account Executive on LinkedIn. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Hi, this is Derek Volk, host of The Derek Volk Show. I want to tell you about my book, Chasing the Rabbit, A Dad's Life Raising a Son on the Spectrum. My book is a rare and emotionally truthful story of my experiences as a father raising a son on the autism spectrum. When Dylan was 2 years old, my wife sat me down and said, "Something's not quite right with Dylan." My book takes you from birth to that day at age two until he was diagnosed with autism 6 years later, and then through his extremely rocky middle school years, his volatile high school life, and his challenging path to adulthood. The story has been called extremely raw and shockingly honest, and has been given 5 stars by every review on Amazon. Please go to our website, chasingtherabbit.org, to learn more about our story. That's chasingtherabbit.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today our guest is Rich Tolan, Enterprise Account Executive at LinkedIn from New York City. Boy, did I say that well? That's pretty good. New York City. And he's talking with us about how we can help HR professionals, business leaders, unlock the revenue-generating potential of LinkedIn. So, Rich, you know, you mentioned in the first segment about social selling index score.
Yep.
I'd love you to take the audience right now through what that is, how they can get to it, what it means, how they can improve it, and tell them all about this great tool.
Yeah, absolutely. So LinkedIn introduced the social selling index, I want to say about 3 years ago, right around when I was starting with LinkedIn, three and a half years ago. And it was a way to quantify specifically salespeople, salespersons' activities on LinkedIn that drive pipeline and revenue. So did massive, as you imagine, LinkedIn, massive big data, constantly, you know, looking at numbers and things of that nature. So the scientists got together, they came out with the social selling index, and it's been great because it's been a way to quantify progress on LinkedIn that does lead to revenue in a sales capacity. So it's a score. So every single member on LinkedIn has a score. It's kind of like a credit score. Everybody has one. I'll tell you, you can find your own score at the following URL. It's linkedin.com/sales/SSI. So linkedin.com/sales/SSI. And you can see your own score. And when you go there, you'll find that there are four components of the social selling index. And each of these quadrants is worth 25 points. So you can score from 0 to 25 points. And the four quadrants are as follows. Number one, building strong relationships. So that's 25 points you could have there. And that's expanding your network, right? Seeing the quality of folks that you have in your network. Are you connected to folks? What type of people are you connected to? And it's, even though I work at LinkedIn, it's fascinating that they can quantify that, but it is quantifiable. And it's not just about how many connections you have. And by the way, on a side note, 500 is probably better than 10,000, if people are wondering about that, right? It's not really about quantity as much as it is about quality. So building strong relationships is the 25-point piece there. The second piece is finding the right people. Are you using the search capabilities inside of LinkedIn to find prospects, right? And so there's different ways you can do that, whether you're on free LinkedIn, whether you have a premium subscription, or whether you have Sales Navigator, which is the platform that I represent at LinkedIn. You have a myriad of tools available to you to find prospects on LinkedIn. So it measures that. It's a, you know, so for example, if you didn't go on LinkedIn for 2 weeks, your score is going to go down. If you're on there every day searching for prospects or talent, right, applies to talent as well, behind the scenes, it will note that and your score will rise. The third quadrant, 25 points again, is engaging with insights. And this is arguably for me, well, not arguably, this is my favorite one, I think, because I think it's so critical to be active and engage on LinkedIn. And so we have measurements around that. And that's, for example, are you posting content on LinkedIn? Are you writing articles? Are you commenting and liking other people's content as well? Right? So are you engaging on LinkedIn? And again, all quantified, and that's the third quadrant worth 25 points. And then the last one, which this is so critical, and I mentioned it earlier, is creating a professional brand on LinkedIn, right? And this is your profile, right? You've got to have a headshot. You've got to have a title. You've got to, you know, tell everybody what school you went to. Make sure your jobs are on there. And make sure you have a summary. That summary section right below the header that has your headshot on there and your title or your headline. You have that summary section right down there. So it takes a quantified look at your brand on LinkedIn, and there's some other pieces behind that too, but that's the most important piece. So the four quadrants, building strong relationships, finding the right people, engaging with insights, and creating a professional brand, each worth 25 points equals 100. Now, you know, the question that I would ask if I was listening to this right now is, you know, so what? Why does this score matter? Why are we even tracking or looking at this? And the reason is because it's been proven through studies that when you engage in those types of behavior, results follow. Results meaning pipeline and revenue, which at the end of the day, every company cares about pipeline and revenue. So from a sales capacity, what we've seen is that folks who engage in those four quadrants better than their peers, they're more likely to go to club, they get promoted faster, they hit their quota more often, things of that nature. So that's the data. Now, I can just tell you, in my own experience in working with many different companies, and I've worked with companies who were in that HCM space, I've worked with Big Pharma, I've worked with companies that sell boxes in Middle America and everything in between, high tech, you name it. And I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of salespeople and sales leaders. And when I've worked with them, we track those scores. And my experience has been personally, outside of the data, that when those scores rise, pipeline and revenue follows. And just to add another point to the pipeline and revenue piece, we tie into CRM systems. So not only do we gather this information from the folks that are using it. We ask them, are you getting into more companies? Are you closing deals? Are you setting appointments? But we can actually see this data inside of the CRM, which is just a great, you know, proof point, right, for that, to prove out why it matters. So that's the social selling index score. We do a lot of data mining with that. When we're working with companies, we'll do comparisons of where they sit amongst their peers in the industry. We also have fun with it. You know, we do leaderboards and things like that with our clients as well. But I would say if anyone out there is interested in learning about their own company's social selling index and or their sales team's performance on LinkedIn, there are certain mechanisms on LinkedIn you can reach out, but I'd be happy to point anyone in the right direction there as well. You can always find me on, guess where?
LinkedIn.
Exactly.
And, of course, we'll be, of course, having this whole show on the HRPowerHour.com website. You can connect with Rich. His contact will be there directly to LinkedIn, of course, on the program. You know, it's interesting. So I'm on right now. I'm on www.linkedin.com/sales/SSI. And I'm looking at my profile. So use just an example here for the audience today. And it gives the four segments you talk about, right? The social selling index. It gives me a 69 out of 100.
It great
gives,
score.
Is that a good? I'm assuming
that's a great score. So 70 is the invisible line in the sand. When we look at performance with regards to revenue, there's that line of demarcation. Over 70 tends to do. So you have 1 point to go there. But
one
we'll
point
help you
to
out.
Go, and it's interesting. If I look at the four areas, right? Establish your professional brand, 19.15. Find the right people, interestingly enough, 9.48. Engage with insights, 15.45. And build relationships right on 25. Not a surprise, right?
That's what I would expect.
Yeah, not a surprise, right, in terms of that number. So if I, using me as an example, and it's still trying to load the weekly social sales index on it, it does do have a comparison. You said to what are people in the industry. It says professionals in the HR industry have an average of 24. That's interesting. Rank is top 2%. People in the network, average 42, and rank 7% of that. So it does give us some information. So talk to me a little bit about if I was saying, for example, that lower score, the find the right people score. Tell me one or two things, if a person was looking at that for that area, what would be one or two things I could do or a person in that situation could do to improve that particular score?
Sure. So one thing I do want to point out there is when you get to that page, each of those sections does have a hyperlink, which will add a little more depth to how you can improve
your scores. Oh, look at that. I
did
not see that. That's good.
So, yeah, and it's... So it's interesting. It's things. Well, first of all, I would take a step back, right, and just say, for context, it's called the social selling index. So it's more sales oriented than anything.
Yep.
Okay. So if you were to, you know, I know you've got a couple businesses, right, and if you were to go and look for potential partners on LinkedIn, it's looking to see if you are using the search tools. Like, are you going into the search bar at the top? Are you looking for companies? Are you looking for people? Even something like, are you using Boolean search, right? So Boolean search is an advanced methodology to find people and companies on LinkedIn, right? And that's a really, really great way to fine-tune your search results. So it's also just leveraging things like, it's looking at, are you using InMail to reach out to people, or are you sending messages and whatnot? But I would say the baseline for that would be, it's very literal. Are you actively engaged in searching for companies and people on LinkedIn? If you are, the score will rise. If not,
well, that makes perfect sense. And look, HR professionals are selling their ideas. They're selling their concepts. They're selling their thoughts to their peers. They're selling it when they're recruiting to get talent. Mm-hmm. They're selling articles. They're selling their things. So they are selling, right? It's funny. HR. I talk to a lot of HR, and you do as well. And a lot of times they go, we don't sell. I know you do. Every day you're selling yourself.
Everybody sells something.
That's right. You know, so that is the aspect of this that I find fascinating, is that it is a sales tool about selling yourself and your ideas.
Yeah, and I think, again, for context, when I do work with HR professionals at companies that leverage Navigator, it's important for them to understand what this means to their sales organization, right? And for them to be able to understand the trends in sales, and specifically as it relates to LinkedIn. So I think that's a helpful piece as well, just understanding what's happening with the folks that are, you know, tasked with driving revenue for their own companies, and this is a big piece.
No, it absolutely is, and that's part of why I'm thinking it's so important for HR people to think about these areas and these things, because it's not necessarily what is the forethought of what HR does each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the other areas that we're going to talk about here in the next segment is tips for your LinkedIn profile itself.
Yeah.
Because I think that's certainly one area where HR professionals look at and they go, you know, how do I make sure that I'm branding myself properly, right? How do I make sure that LinkedIn is the way it is? Look at candidates, right? Candidates are out there. They're trying to get seen. They're trying to get known. How do they prepare themselves for that? We're going to talk about that in the next section on the HR Power Hour. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsinME.com. That's JobsinME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Rich Toland, Enterprise Account Executive for LinkedIn. We're talking about helping HR, helping professionals with their LinkedIn profiles, unlocking the revenue potential of LinkedIn, and just understanding LinkedIn in general. Rich, you know, we talked about in the last segment the social selling index, and thank you so much for bringing that to the attention of a lot of professionals who may not know about that, and HR professionals who are like, wow, that may help me in terms of either, you know, being a better branded person overall. But I want to talk about the profile itself, since it's, if you want to talk about something that is the foundation of LinkedIn, it is the profile. So talk to us a little bit about what is important on the profile, what may not be as important as people think, what are things that people really should make sure they take some real time to get right.
Yeah, that's a great, great question, and one that comes up every day. You know, it all starts with the mindset of zeroing in on your target market. So what I mean by that is you really need to pick a lane and run through that, to use a football metaphor. Pick a hole, decide what play you're going to run, and run that play. So what I mean by that is when you think about who is your target audience or target market on LinkedIn, is it, you know, your colleagues at the company you work for? Is it college roommates? Is it your friends from high school? Is it family members, clients? In HR, I think we would all agree that the candidate is the most, you know, important person, I would imagine, to an HR professional on LinkedIn. So you need to put yourself in the candidate's shoes and imagine if your top candidate, if your top role, were to look at your profile, and they've got 5 to 10 seconds to make a judgment call, and that's just human nature. What are you going to say, and how are you going to look to them in that short amount of time? Right now, there's a lot of depth to the profile, and we'll get into a couple pieces of what's what I call below the fold. But when you think about your profile, you think about what's above the fold first. What I mean by that is if you were to pull up someone's profile, it's everything that you see at the top of the screen. We all know we can scroll down and look at a lot more, but what people see right away is right at the top. So some of the things that are obvious, right, you need to have a professional profile picture. When I say professional profile picture, I mean, you know, a headshot, right? Smile, right? Don't be that person who has the cropped photo from a party, or, you know, don't put your picture in there from your wedding with your bow tie, which I've seen, right? I've seen all kinds of stuff. You want to have a professional presence, excuse me, on LinkedIn, and the headshot is where it all starts. Now, one little piece to that, you want to make sure that everybody can actually see your photo, right? So if you go into your settings, you can make your profile picture public to everybody, or only those that you're connected to can see it. My advice would be make it public to everybody, because you're not going to be connected to your candidates, right? So the first piece is make sure that the photo is up there and that it's a great representation of you today, right? Not from 10, 20 years ago, but who you are today. The second piece I talked about earlier, and that is right underneath your name where your title is. I would ask everybody to think about ways to inspire your candidates. What is your headline? What is it that you and your company stand for? Right? You can have anything you want in there. So I have mine in there. I did not put my title in there, and I've got, you know, helping enterprise organizations unlock the revenue-generating power of LinkedIn. But the way you want to think about this is, imagine you were in a room, and you had to stand up, and you had to introduce yourself, right? You want to say what you do, like, and you're in a room full of candidates, what would you say? You wouldn't say, hi, this is Rich Tolan, HR professional, or hey, this is Rich Tolan, chief of HR. I would say, this is Rich Tolan, and I'm looking for the top talent to join my company for ABC reasons. So you want to add more of that color right underneath that in that headline area. And then if you're thinking about what's underneath that, the summary is very important. It's an area where you can write free form. You can explain to folks what it is you, your organization, what you're all about, right? And one of the things that I have to point out on this, and I see this daily, this is critical. You do not want to talk about yourself in the third person. And I see it. So you want to, again, imagine as if you are speaking to somebody, okay? You don't want to say, Rich Tolan is an award-winning, or Rich Tolan has worked at, Rich Tolan. It's not it's actually awkward even saying it. It's uncomfortable even saying it like that. But your LinkedIn profile is the same thing. You're speaking to a candidate there. So imagine you've got 30 seconds to say more about what it is that makes your company so attractive to talent. So the profile picture, number one, the headline underneath, which is your value proposition, then the summary, and then a more tactical but definitely important is you've got that ability to put a nice colorful header at the top there, and you can upload, you know, anything you want there as well. And then as far as underneath the fold, make sure that you don't have errors or omissions in there. Use the proper tense, right? So I see a lot of folks will say, three jobs ago, they'll say, I manage this or I do this. You did that, right? It's in the past. So just watching your P's and Q's there. There's so many more pieces on this that we could get into, and I'm more than happy to help folks out if they want to reach out and get in more depth on this. But I would just say the most important thing to think about with the profile, David, is imagine your top candidate is looking at your profile. What impression do you want to make in a very short amount of time?
And I think that's the key, right? Because you made a good point. People only are going to give 6-10 seconds, you know, to looking at you, unless, of course, they might be meeting with you or something. They'll give more in-depth. Talk a little bit about the education side and the skills part. You know, there's been a lot of discussion of how important is it to check off all those skills or check off all those sections?
Well, it's a really interesting question, given that this is the HR Power Hour, because it's important if you're from a recruiting standpoint, in that HR folks will look for people that have, you know, turned those skills on their profile. So, you know, if you go to look for a job on LinkedIn, it will tell you, for example, the top 20 skills that this company is looking for, and it will say you had 12 out of those 20, for example. So from a candidate standpoint, it's really important that those skills are on there, because they want to be able to show up in search, right, from folks who are using our recruiter tools and other methodologies to be seen. I think it, in general, though, like the whole skills piece is a why not. There's no downside to adding your skills in there. How relevant it's going to be every step of the way and your experience on LinkedIn, you know, don't know, but you never know unless you have it in there. So I would recommend everybody checks off the skills that they have, and also, you know, look at your profile and make sure you don't have any old information in there. So you may have skills that you purposely put in there 10 years ago or 5 years ago for a very specific reason that may not be relevant anymore. I'll give you an example. In the sales world, I see a lot of sellers have cold calling as a skill. Their target market doesn't want to see that they're great at cold calling. Their target market are prospects and clients. They don't care about that, right? So just take a look at the skills that you have checked off. And, you know, the recommendations piece, that's great. I think if you can get recommendations anytime, it surely looks really nice. And I would also say, conversely, give recommendations to those that you feel have done a great job for you. It's definitely appreciated.
Yeah, that's a good piece about the recommendations. How current should somebody be with those? Should they get one a year? Should they get two a year? Just a point of reference.
Yeah, there's a lot of school of thought on that. I'll tell you one thing that I've seen that sticks out. I've seen people that have, you know, maybe 10 recommendations, and it ends in, say, 2015, and you wonder what the heck happened over the last 3 years. And conversely, you see people that list awards that they've received, or they talk about how their performance exceeded goal, and this is in sales specifically, exceeded goal, exceeded quota for these years, and then there's a gap. So I think the way I would answer that question is, whatever the time strategy that you're comfortable with, just stick to that. So if it's for a year, I think would be fine. But, you know, I think more, a different way to think about that is, anytime you think it makes sense to ask for a recommendation, go ahead and do that. So if Dave, if you and I were to do business together and you thought I did a great job, I might say, would you mind giving me a recommendation on LinkedIn? And then if I had the same scenario the following week, we're at another client that we had a great relationship, and I might say, would you mind giving me a recommendation on LinkedIn? And they might do so. So I would check and make sure that if you have recommendations and you haven't had any lately, you know, seek those out and ask folks to do that for you. Most people will do it. But then it's more situational. You know, if you feel like it's appropriate to ask, you could have three in 1 week. That's great.
No, I think that's very relevant and very current. So when we come back, Rich, I want to talk about the tools that LinkedIn have that HR professionals may not even know a lot about, and how it can effectively help them in their jobs each and every day.
Sounds great.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. We have had a great guest today, Rich Tolan, Enterprise Account Executive at LinkedIn. He's provided incredible tips for your LinkedIn profile. He's talked about Social Selling Index, which you may have not have even heard about. HR professionals, get with the program. Learn about this stuff. It's good. It's good educational stuff. It really is. And Rich is there to help if you need that. Certainly, he can be reached at LinkedIn. Big surprise, RichTolAnd. Or you can go to HRPowerHour.com and, of course, connect with him through the links there. Rich, as we wrap up the show today, I want you to talk about a couple tools, or at least a tool, that HR professionals may have thought have been for other people, but could really help them in their jobs that LinkedIn provides.
Yeah, it sounds great. So, you know, we talked earlier about the different business units at LinkedIn. You know, clearly the talent solutions piece is our most well-known, and I'm sure everybody here is familiar with that. And that's the recruiter piece, right? And that's really bread and butter, you know, 101 LinkedIn stuff for HR folks. I think a couple other areas that I would recommend your audience looks into. One would be LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn Learning is it's a learning platform. We've got thousands and thousands, and I'm sure there's an accurate number somewhere of exactly how much content we have on LinkedIn Learning, formerly lynda.com. But, you know, what I'm seeing and what we're hearing at LinkedIn is that many companies are, and really HR, is tasked with continual education for their workforce. And so there are, you know, learning platforms out there, LMSs, all kinds of things you can do. If you're looking at LinkedIn and LinkedIn Learning, it's a tremendous, robust platform with really, really great content that is applicable to literally everybody in your organization, leadership, engineering, sales, IT. It's actually fascinating how deep that content goes. So I think the LinkedIn Learning piece would be interesting for folks to learn more about. The other piece I mentioned before as well was that Elevate piece, and that's the employee advocacy platform that empowers employees of your organization to share content that the company cares about. Because a lot of times what we see is it's the HR folks that are managing the LinkedIn page for their company, right? And they're the ones pushing out the content, perhaps with content marketing, but from a recruiting standpoint, there's heavy usage there. So I would recommend looking at the Elevate platform as well. In my world, you know, in the sales solutions business unit, the sales navigator piece absolutely has relevancy to HR, and I'll tell you why. So I remember back when I was a leader, sales leader at ADP, there's nothing more disruptive to a business, in my opinion, than being understaffed when it comes to driving revenue. Because just because people leave doesn't mean the quotas and the revenue demands go down. They're still there. So in the relentless pursuit to attract and retain talent, specifically for sales, which is so critical at every single company, understanding the tools that are available to your sales team and letting candidates know what you have, I think folks missed the boat on that. And I only say that based on conversations I have with my clients where I get the opportunity to meet the HR team, and I will say, you know, your sales team has Sales Navigator. Your company is paying for your sales team to have this tool. This is a tool that's in high demand in your industry, right? Not all of your competitors have Sales Navigator. And you could say that about whatever tools you have in your sales stack, right? And there are many that are out there. But when I go and I look at job descriptions for open recs, I rarely see companies touting, and these are for sales roles, I rarely see them touting the great sales tools that they have and that they've invested in to make their sellers more competitive and help them be more successful at their job. So when I think about that tool, that Sales Navigator tool, and, you know, I work with a company, maybe they'll have 500 salespeople and 500 folks will have Sales Navigator, and HR may not have been aware that the chief revenue officer purchased this item for their team. But they should know and they should really care, because it's going to help you attract better sales talent. And many of the clients I've worked with have done studies to see if, in fact, having these tools helps retain talent, and the answer is yes. So I think from an HR standpoint, when you think about tools that your organization buys for your employees, I would encourage you to let these candidates know about some of these tools. And I don't know if you can specifically name the brands of the tools that you have for your folks, but if you can and put that in a job description, I tell you, I think that'd be a great benefit to anyone looking to hire great talent. Let them know. Let them know that you're there to support them and that you've invested in these tools. So to put a bow on that topic, for, in my world, David, the Navigator tool, companies that have it, we're preaching, listen, tell folks that you have this tool, right? Let them know that you've invested. Let them know that you're a modern sales organization, and that really matters in today's world.
It really does matter, and I think one of the things that I really liked about today's conversation is you really gave practical tips for how to improve your HR profile, your business profile, and to learn more about how to use LinkedIn in a more effective and efficient manner that is a little bit different than the normal use of HR every day by just the talent solution side of the business. And I think that is really relevant to the listeners today. And Rich, I really want to thank you for being our guest.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And again, I encourage anyone that would like to learn more about LinkedIn, feel free to reach out. I'll get you in the right spot. I'm sure every person out there has a LinkedIn representative who you haven't met yet for the variety of things that we offer. And so, you know, it's very easy to help connect folks to opportunity there, and I'd be happy to do so.
Rich, thank you again. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB, 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
This is Liz Johnston from VeralDana. Do you allow your employees to work from home? The option to work remotely is a trending topic in many employment sectors. If you are considering offering it as an option at your organization, there are some important considerations to keep in mind. For example, how do you plan to monitor work product and productivity? For non-exempt employees, how will you ensure that they accurately track their time spent working and that they take breaks required by law? You'll also want to keep in mind how your organization's sensitive and confidential information will stay secure, including what equipment employees will use when working remotely and what measures you'll put in place to safeguard confidential company information. Open communication, written policies, and proper protocols are key to ensuring that your organization is protected and continues to run smoothly. If you are considering a policy allowing your employees to work remotely, contact a member of VeralDana's Labor and Employment Group for more information.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.